Hi, girls. It's Mrs. Back. I'm going to give you a minute to gather a Shmuel Aleph. Hopefully you all have one at home. And we are going to be doing Perek Tes Vav. I know that we're not up to it. I don't think we're up to it in any of the classes. It's a very famous Perek, and I just figured that this is a good place to start that we could all benefit from. So I'm going to give you a minute to get a Shmuel. Okay, I also want to say one other thing as a preface. My class 12A was supposed to have a speaker, Rabbi David Leskowitz, who teaches in B'nos Yisrael. He is giving a class, part of which he was going to give to my class had we been in school, and he is doing it remotely. And if 12A wants to call in at, I think it's 9 o'clock tomorrow, they could do the following, and they could hear part of the shiur. No, sorry, I beg your pardon. It's 8 o'clock. I think it's at 8 o'clock, and here's the number, 323-905-0632. Let me say that again, 323-905-0632, and the PIN number is 719-797-084, hashtag. Okay, so if you want to join into that, that might be very inspiring. He's a really good speaker. Okay, Perek Tes Vav in Shmuel Aleph. Okay, I'm going to read because I don't have you sitting in front of me, so hopefully you won't get too bored of listening to my voice. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Osi shalach Hashem l'mashachacha l'melech alamo al Yisrael. I anointed you, Hashem. Shmuel says to Shaul, Hashem is telling you, I anointed you, I sent you to be a king on his nation, al Yisrael. Va'ata, and now, shma l'kol divrei Hashem. Listen to the word of Hashem. Looking at Rashi, Rashi says, Pam achas niskalta, one time before you acted foolishly. Ata, now, hizaher ba'atzmacha, please watch yourself, be careful. This is Shmuel who is kind of trying to like coach his Talmud Shaul and saying, remember when you messed up that you didn't wait for me in Gilgal for 7 days? Now Hashem is sending you a different shlichus, on a different shlichus. Please listen to what Hashem says. He's like kind of begging him, please, I want you to do it right this time. Ko'amar Hashem tzvakos, pakadati es asher asa amalek liyisrael. I remember what I did to Amalek, asher samlo baderach balo somi Mitzrayim. What they did, and they ambushed them on the way when Bnei Israel were leaving Mitzrayim. Ata, now, lech, go, vihikisa es Amalek. I want you to strike Amalek, vehecharamtem es kol asher lo, and destroy everything that is theirs. Velosach mol alav. Do not have pity on them. The Hemata, and you should kill Meish ad Isha, men and women, Meolel ad Yonek, a nursing baby, sorry, an older baby, a nursing baby, Mishorva ad Se, an ox to a sheep, Migamal ad Chamor, a camel to a donkey. In other words, wipe out Amalek completely, completely. The question is asked, why do we have to wipe out their animals? What did the animals do wrong? And I'm sure you all remember this from 7th grade, that the Amaleki people had the power of Kishuf, and they were able to somehow morph themselves into animal figures. And because of that, Hashem said, kill all the animals, because are you an animal or are you an Amaleki? So we're not really sure, so we're going to kill all the animals. A second reason is that we don't want any Zikaron to be remaining of Amalek. Let's say you would leave an ox alive. So then somebody would ask you, oh, where'd you get that ox? Oh, I got it from Amalek because when we went to war, I took it from Amalek. We don't want anything remaining. Okay, I want you to also turn your Shmuel now and just flip ahead to Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud Tes. Again, that's Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud Tes. Keep your finger back in Tes Vav though. Okay, and here's the pasuk. Ve'esnov ir hakohanim ki kalafi cherev. This is talking about when Shaul ordered the city of Nov to be destroyed. Ve'ish va'ad isha me'olel va'ad yomik v'shor v'chamor v'seh lefi cherev. Not exactly the same, but very similar. Okay, and we compare these two things. At one point, Hashem told him, destroy everybody, and Shaul didn't do that. And in fact, he did it when he wasn't supposed to. And from here, we learn the Chazal, Kol HaMarachim Al HaAchzarim, when you are merciful, when you should be not merciful, on the cruel people, which was Amalek, Sofo, in the end, Shetehe Achzar, you will be cruel, Al HaRachmanim, to the people who are really merciful people, which were the Kohanim. Shaul did not use his emotions correctly, and we're going to get back to that point in a minute. Pasuk Dalet, V'yishama Shaul es ha'am, Shaul gathered the people, V'yifkedeim b'tzla'im, he counted the people in a place called Tzla'im, or he counted them with sheep. Ma'asayim elef ragli, 200,000 foot soldiers, V'aseres alafim es ish Yehuda, and 10,000 of the people of Yehuda. Pasuk Hei, V'yavo Shaul ad ir Amalek, Shaul is coming now to the city of Amalek, Vayarev banachal, and he quarreled in the valley. What does that mean, he quarreled in the valley? What is he doing? What is he talking about? And this is very important. Look at Rashi, Pasuk Hei. Vayarev banachal. Vayilachem banachal. He fought in the nachal. Rabboseinu amru, our rabbis teach us, al iske nachal rav vidan es atzmo. On the matter that is done in a nachal, he was arguing with himself. He was arguing and judging himself. He was having a moral dilemma. Okay, what is done in a nachal? Okay, so if anybody remembers, that's the mitzvah of Egla Arufa. Uma b'shvil nefesh achas amra Torah arof Egla b'nachal. Shaul is making this calculation. If for one person, one mace mitzvah, we do this whole procedure of Egla Arufa in a valley, in a nachal, b'shvil kol ha-nifashos ha-elu lo kol shekein, wouldn't Hashem not want me to kill all these nifashos, all these people, all these human beings? I know they're Amaleki, but they're humans. They're good people. I mean, some of them might be okay people. Im adam chata, behema machata. And if the people sin, well, what about the animals? And then the Medrash goes on, it's not in your Rashi, but it says, im gedolim chatu, if the adults sin, kitanim machatu. The children didn't sin. Shaul is questioning Hashem's tzivui, and he's thinking, wait a minute, we do all this whole thing in a valley with Egla Arufa. Would Hashem really want me to kill all these people? And he's having this moral dilemma. Should I? Shouldn't I? Hashem told me, but maybe I shouldn't because Hashem is really merciful. I don't really know, so on and so on. And he's having this moral dilemma. At that time, a baskol comes out and says, Al tihi tzadik harbe. Don't be such a tzadik. In other words, you don't have to overthink Hashem's command. Hashem gives you a tzibui, you do what he told you. It's very hard to understand how we have to kill out Amalek, but if Hashem tells us, that's what we have to do. I want to read you a little story that kind of also illustrates this point about our emotions. And if anybody knows it, spoiler alert, don't spoil it, okay? Because it's a famous story, but again, it has a punch ending, and don't spoil it. Okay, here goes the story. This scene, a tiny infant, racked by pain, screaming in his crib, burning up from fever. The mother, hysterical, is at her wit's end. Nothing she has tried has helped. The fever continues to rise. Outside, a snowstorm swirls. The doctor was called hours ago, but has not yet arrived. This innocent, helpless tot, whose tiny body is now convulsed with fever and pain. The child is growing weaker by the moment. His unceasing wailing has gradually given way to an occasional, pitifully weak whimper. Only the tiniest spark of life remains. And then, at the very last moment, the door flies open, and the doctor, his hat, overcoat, and galoshes covered with snow, bursts into the house. In one motion, he discards his hat and coat, and black bag in hand, rushes to the mortally ill infant. Finding no pulse, he desperately tries to breathe life into the tiny pair of lungs. An eternity of moments pass, and then a cough and a sputter, and finally the wheeze-filled sound of pitifully shallow but regular breathing. Maybe there still is a chance. The doctor gives the child an injection and begins trying to get him to take some liquid medicine. The child struggles weakly and finally opens his mouth, coughs, and swallows the medicine. 10 minutes pass ever so slowly while the infant wavers between life and death. The exhausted mother kneels beside the crib. Her eyes are swollen and inflamed from frightful hours of crying. Her lips are quivering in desperate prayer. Slowly, the child's temperature begins to drop. His breathing becomes quieter and more regular, and he drifts off to sleep. The doctor listens to the tiny, fatigued heart through his stethoscope. He goes to his black bag and removes a few more packets of the wondrous, life-saving medicine. Then, turning to the sobbing mother, he places the medicine in her hands and soothingly begins to reassure her. "It'll be all right now. There, there. Everything is going to be just fine, Mrs. Schickel-Gruber. Little Adolf is going to live." So they say that this was a true story that really happened with Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and that really he was mortally ill, and this doctor came and saved him. Now, when I'm reading that story, you don't know the ending. You think and you feel so compassionate for that little baby burning up with fever. So your heart is pulled towards that little baby. Had we known what happened, what he would do, I don't know whatever we would wish that the baby would die, perhaps. But again, our emotions can't govern our actions when Hashem commands us to do something. And here we have the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, and it's connected because I just want to tell you, I should have said this at the beginning. This is the Haftorah for Parshas Zachor. We all just heard Parshas Zachor at the end of Kiseitzeh. This is the Haftorah that they lean that week. Again, to show that really Hashem knows what's the right thing, and when we have to kill people, we have to kill people. And Shaul should not, I shouldn't have said this, but the fact that Shaul second-guessed, again, I don't want to say it like that, but thought differently than Hashem was a mistake, and he should not have done that. Again, I mean that with great respect. Okay, continuing on. Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Shaul el Hakeni. Oh, let me just go back for 1 second. Sometimes you've heard this expression of it's cruel to be kind. So let me just give you an example. If a mother gives her child candy all the time, it's really cruel to be kind. She's not really being kind to her child. People might think that she is, oh, such a good mother. She just lets the child do whatever. Really, she's a cruel mother because she's not setting limits. If a mother lets her teenager just wander around, go wherever you want, I don't care, take the car, go here, go there, come home when you want, that's not a good mother. That's a cruel mother because she's not setting limits. We might think that she's kind, but she's not. So again, back to this, Hashem tells us sometimes you have to be cruel, and that really is the right way. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Shaul el HaKeni. Who are the Keni? If you remember, again, look at Rashi, B'nai Yisro. B'nai Yisro lived amongst the Amalekim. They were kind of like scattered in pockets around where the Amalekim lived. So Shaul says to the Keni, to the people from the descendants of Yisro, Lehu, go, Suru, Redumi, Toch Amaleki. Go out and go from amongst the Amalekim. Pen osifcha imo, lest I end you with them. In other words, I will kill you with them. I don't want to include you with them. Va'ata asisa chesed im kol b'nei Yisrael. Because, you have done, because they have done a chesed, you talking to the Keni, have done a chesed to b'nei Yisrael, ba'alosam mi Mitzrayim. And this is talking about Yisro, how he helped Moshe when they left Mitzrayim. Ve'yasar Keni mitoch amaleki, and that's what they did, and they, amongst Amalekim, Pasuk Zayin. Vayach Shaul as Amalek michavila boach Ashur asher al p'nei Mitzrayim. He hit them in this place. Pasuk Ches. These post as Agag melech Amalek chai. He captured Agag melech Amalek chai alive. Es kol am hechrim lefi chara. But he did kill all the other people by the sword. Why did he keep Agag alive? He really was going to kill him. He was definitely going to listen to the tzivui of Hashem, but he thought it might be more of a kiddush Hashem if he kills Agag more publicly. However, we all know what happened that night. In the middle of the night, even though he was keeping him in a cell or somewhere for a more public execution, Mrs. Agag visited him somehow, and she became pregnant, and that's how we have Haman HaAgagi. Pasuk Tes. Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'am al agag v'al meitav hatzon. So Shaul had mercy on, and the nation had mercy on Agag and the good sheep, v'habakar, and the good sheep and cattle, v'hamishnim, and the fat ones, v'al hakarim, the one are fat cows, this is fat sheep, al kol hatov, and all the good ones, v'lo avu hachrimam, they do not want to destroy them. Oh, this is a good cow, this is a good sheep, let's save them, and we're going to offer korbanos to Hashem. The chol hamalacha nimvazev v'nameis is an expression that means all the scrawny, ugly ones. Osa, those, hachrim, they destroy. Vahi devar Hashem el Shmuel lemor, nichamti ki himlachti es Shaul lemelech, ki shav me'acharai, ve'es devarai lo. I regretted or I changed my mind that I appointed Shaul as king because he turned from me and my word he did not keep. And this upset Shmuel, Hashem kol halayla, and he cried to Hashem all that night. From here we learn that a Rebbe is very upset and distressed when his Talmud doesn't do well. He was not angry, he was upset with himself. Maybe I didn't give him enough instruction. Maybe I didn't encourage him well. Maybe I didn't give enough clear direction. And again, he's turning it inward and he's saying, oh, my Talmud didn't listen. Oh, what, maybe I wasn't a good teacher. And it's really important. A Rebbe always wants his Talmidim to succeed. A teacher always wants her Talmidos to succeed. And if there's, let's say, I'm just going to say this from my own experience, if everybody in a class doesn't do well on a test, I know that I didn't teach that material clearly enough because everybody bombed out on it. So it's on me, not on them. Don't fail your test, though, just by the way. Okay, continuing on. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayashkim Shmuel likra Shaul baboker. Shmuel gets to meet Shaul early in the morning. Vayugad l'Shmuel leimor b'Shaul ha'Karmela. Shaul was in Carmel. V'hinei matziv lo yad. And he was building a mizbeach. V'yasov v'yavor v'yayreid. Gilgal, and they went and they met up in Gilgal. Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel comes to Shaul. Vayomer lo Shaul. And Shaul says to him, Baruch atah Lashem hakimosi es devar Hashem. If this wouldn't be the Navi, it would be, I don't know, it's so ironic. Shaul is so proud of himself. He comes to greet Shmuel, his Rebbe, and he's like, Rebbe, you're going to be so proud of me. You're going to be so impressed that I did it this time. Hakimosi es devar Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, Ume kol hatzon hazeh baznai, but what is the voice of the sheep that I'm hearing? V'kol habakar asher anochi shomea, and the voice of the cow. I'm hearing ba-ba, moo-moo, what is that all about? Vayomer Shaul, me amaleki heviyu, I took them from Amalek, asher chamal ha'am al meitav hatzon v'habakar. The people had pity on the good sheep and cattle. Why? L'man zvoach l'Hashem alokecha, in order that we should bring korbanos to Hashem, as Hayoser and the rest, Hachramnu, we destroyed. So he's kind of rationalizing and saying, look, we were going to kill these sheep and cattle anyway. We might as well just take those good fat sheep and cattle and bring them on the Mizbeach as a Korban to Hashem. Either way they die, it makes sense to do that. That's what the people thought. And if you look at this Pasuk, something jumps out at you that Shaul said that perhaps he shouldn't have. And that is, Asher Hamal Ha'am, the nation had pity. He needs to take responsibility because he's the leader. Coming back to that soon. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel says to Shaul, Heref, shush, be quiet, stop talking. Va'agide lecha es asher diber Hashem elai halayla. And I want to tell you what Hashem told me this past night. Vayomer lo daber. And he says to him, fine, speak. Vayomer Shmuel. And Shmuel says, Halo im katon ata be'inecha rosh shiftei Yisrael ata. Even though you're small in your own eyes, you are the head of all the Shvatim of Yisrael. V'yimashachacha Hashem l'melech al Yisrael. And Hashem anointed you as a king. Pasuk Yud Ches. V'yishlachacha Hashem badarach. And Hashem sent you on the way. V'yomer, and he said to you, Lech v'hachramta et hachata'im es Amalek. Go and destroy those sinners, Amalek. V'nelchanta bo ad kalosam osam. And you should fight with them until they're all destroyed. Your test. The lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem. Why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? But ta'at al el hashalal, and you swoop down like a vulture on the shalal, on the spoils, v'ta'as hara be'eini Hashem, and you did badly in the eyes of Hashem. Let's go back to Pasuk Yutes. This is going to be a very important lesson, a life lesson that I want you to remember forever. It's probably going to be on your final, so pay attention. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Im katon ata be'inecha, if you are small in your own eyes, Rosh Shiftei Yisrael ata, you are still the head of all of the Shvatim of Yisrael. Here's the lesson. If you are in a position of authority or responsibility, the buck stops with you. Even if you're a humble person, you're a quiet type of girl. But guess what? When you're babysitting, when you're a camp counselor, when you're a mother, when you're doing something that you're in charge of, you have to take that responsibility and you have to step up to the plate and you have to be authoritative and you have to say, wait a minute, no, we're not going to be doing that. We have to da-da-da-da. No, we're not going to be doing this. And again, it sounds like you're a big boss. No, it's not that you're a big boss. It's not like anything arrogant. It's the fact that you have to take responsibility for what the people are doing. Again, in katona tabei necha, even though you're small in your own eyes, Rosh Shiftei Yisrael ata, you are the head of the people. And then he goes on and he says, Hashem appointed you as king. Therefore, Hashem wants you to take authority. You are the leader. You have to step up to it. True story, when I was a kid, we had a babysitter, and my brother, who's a year younger than me, very daredevil type of guy, so he tells the babysitter, you know, I want to jump off the roof. We had like a second story, and then it kind of like, one of the windows, kind of you would land on the first story roof, if you can picture it, like a little jutted out kind of thing. And the babysitter said, oh yeah, that's a good idea, let's do it. So my brother, okay, jumps off of the second story onto the first story overhang. He was fine. Nothing happened. And that's what happened, okay? Needless to say, my mother did not rehire that babysitter. But that's crazy. That's insane. That's cockamamie. That is not normal. You don't allow your charge, your child that you're watching, to jump off the roof, even though, thank God, Baruch Hashem, he was okay. Okay, continuing on. Vayomer Shaul, no, I said that already. Okay, Tessayin, sorry. Pasuk Tessayin. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul, I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. Okay, Pasuk Chas. Vayomer Shaul El Shmuel. Shaul answers back and says, Asher Shamati B'kol Hashem, I did listen to the voice of Hashem. Ve'eleich B'derech Asher Shlachani Hashem, and I did go in the path that Hashem sent me. And I just brought Agag, and everybody else I did kill. Again, the people took from the spoils. Son Uvakar, Rashis Hacherem, the best of the spoils, Lisboach Lashem Elokacha Begildel, in order to bring Korbanos to Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, and Shmuel replies, Hachefetz Lahashem, Beolos Uzvachim? Does Hashem want people's olos in Zvachim? That's not the most important thing. Kishmoa b'kol Hashem. Rather, Hashem would want you to listen to his voice. And here's again an important lesson. Hine shmoa mizevach tov. Listening is more important than korbanos. Lahakshiv, again, to be attentive and listen, is more important mechelev elim, from the fat of rams. I'm sure you all remember last year from Yeshaya that Hashem said, I don't want your korbanos. They're not sincere. I don't want them. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to listen. So the fact that Shaul was saying, oh, but we kept the animals alive in order to bring korbanos, well, that doesn't really add up, because Hashem says, no. I would really rather that you listen more than the korbanos. Again, important for us to know, we should listen to Hashem and not make our own cheshbonos. Well, wait a second, maybe this, maybe that, that's more important. No. Okay, you do what you're supposed to do, and that's that. Okay, kichatas kesem meri, the sin of witchcraft is like rebellion. The oven usrafim and avodah zara, oven and srafim are types of avodah zara. Haftar is like begging or urging. I'll explain in a minute. Ya'an ma'asta estavar Hashem bi'masachacha mi'melech. Kihatas Kesem Mary, let's go back to this. The fact that you rebelled is a little bit like you are believing in witchcraft. You're not really listening to Hashem. You believe in other powers. The same idea of Hafzar, you're excusing yourself, you're begging yourself, a little bit like Avodah Zarah. How does that add up? You're really kind of making your own conditions. You're not just following Hashem like with straight faith. Okay, and because you rejected the word of Hashem, Hashem is going to reject you as a king. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayomer Shaul El Shmuel, and Shaul says to Shmuel, Chatasi, I sinned. Ki avarti espi Hashem ve'es devarecha. I transgressed your word, the word of Hashem, and your word. He did two things. He didn't listen to Hashem, and he didn't listen to a Navi. Ki yareisi es ha'am. And I was afraid of the people, the Eshma Bikolam, and I listened to their voice. He's explaining, or maybe even rationalizing, why he didn't listen. He says, I was really afraid. I was inhibited by the people. I was intimidated by them. I didn't want to cross them. They wanted to keep the animals alive. So I thought that was an okay thing. I didn't want to say, no, 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 we're not doing that. Okay, if you look at Rashi, who specifically was Shaul afraid of or intimidated by? And the answer is, if you look at Rashi, it says, Doeg ha'adomi, shaya chashuv kekulam. Doeg ha'adomi is going to play a very big role coming up in the different happenings that are going to occur now in Shaul and actually in David's life also. Doeg was the Av Beis Din. He was a brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham. However, his inside was rotten. Usually, Torah, when you learn Torah, it affects your character and it changes a person. For some reason, Doeg learned, he knew halacha upside down backwards. However, it didn't change his inside character. And you'll see as we go along that he was not a very good person. And here he is, and maybe he was the one, I don't know, it doesn't say in the Navi, that he suggested keeping Agag alive or maybe the animals alive. And Shaul was a little bit reluctant to cross him. So he says, I'm a little bit, I was afraid. And that's how he's excusing himself. Pasuk Chafei, Ba'ata sana eschatasi, please forgive my sin, vishuvi me, and go with me, veshtachave l'Hashem, and I'm going to go bow down with Hashem, to Hashem and ask for forgiveness. Pasuk Chafa, Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, lo eshuvimach, no, I'm not going to return with you, ki ma'asta es devar Hashem, you rejected the word of Hashem, v'yimasachacha Hashem miyos melech al Yisrael, and Hashem has rejected you from being a king on Yisrael. V'yisov Shmuel l'aleches, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Shmuel turns to go, v'yachazek b'knaf mi'ilo v'yikara, and he grabbed the corner of his coat and it tore. Who grabbed whose coat? Again, v'yachazek b'knaf mi'ilo v'yikara. He grabbed the corner of his coat and it tore. Okay, who's grabbing whose coat? So there are three different pshatim on this question. And if you look on page Kuf Tzadi Aleph, if you have the same printing as ours, as the one that we use in school, you look at Radak, the middle of the first column, where it says, v'yachazek b'knaf mi'ilo. Let's do the three different interpretations. Number one, Shaul hechzik b'knaf mi'il Shmuel k'dei sheyashuv imo. This is the pshat. Shmuel turns to go. He says, no, I'm not going to go with you. I'm turning around. I'm going back home. So Shaul grabs onto Shmuel's coat and says, no, don't leave. Come back. That's the first one. Ubedrash, okay, chokim bo. There's different machlokas. Different people say different things. Yesh Omrim, some people say, Ki Shmuel kara b'me'il Shaul. Shmuel tore Shaul's coat, v'ramazlo bazeh, to hint to him, Ki mishe yachros knaf me'ilo hu yimloch acharav, to give him a hint that in the future, the man who's going to cut off a corner of your coat, he is going to be the next king. The Yesh Omrim, and there's others, and here's pshat number three, Ki Shmuel kara me'ilo shalatzmo, that Shmuel tore his own coat. Shekein darchan shel tzadikim liyos korin b'sha'a she'ein netiasam mishubeches. This is the way of tzadikim to tear kriya like a morning sign at the time their netia, their planting, their talmid, their person that they've been nurturing doesn't come out praiseworthy. Okay, let's repeat them. Pshat, Shaul grabs onto Shmuel's coat and says, no, 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 don't leave me. And as he's grabbing it, it tears. Shot number two, Adrash, Shmuel tears Shaul's coat as a sign, a remez, that someone in the future will tear your coat and he's going to be the next king. Number three, Shmuel tore his own coat in a sign of mourning to say, oi, my Talmud didn't really do the right thing. Oi, it's on me, and he's mourning. Vayomer Elav Shmuel, Kara Hashem es Mamlechus Yisrael Me'alecha Hayom Unisana L'Reacha Hatov Mimecha. Shmuel says, just like the coat tore, Hashem is going to tear your Malchus from you, and he's going to give it to someone, Nisana L'Reacha Hatov Mimecha, to somebody who's better than you. He doesn't say who it's going to be, but he says it's going to be somebody better than you, which is probably very painful for Shaul to hear. I'm going to do one more pasuk, and then I'm going to stop. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. I'm sure everybody knows this phrase. But here in this context, it means the eternity of Yisrael, which is Hashem, lo yishaker, will not lie, v'lo yinachem, and will not change his mind. Ki lo adam hu lihinachem, because he's not like a man who changes his mind. We usually say, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people, will never be destroyed. Hashem will always keep us alive. That's how we usually use it. In this particular context, it's saying, Netzach Yisrael, which is Hashem, will never lie and never regret. And if we look at Rashi, he explains, V'im tomar ashuv me'avoni lefanav. What if Shaul says, I'm going to do tshuva for this sin. Can I get back the melucha? The answer is, lo ya'il od. It's not going to help anymore. Litol esam lucha mimisha nasnalo. Because in Shamayim, Hashem in his book, in his Shamayim world, already kind of gave the melucha to David. Ki akarish baruch hu shehu nitzko no shel Yisrael. Hashem, who is the eternity of Yisrael, lo yishaker mi latein hatova lezesha amar litein. He will not take back or change his mind or lie to the good that he already promised. So when Hashem says, I'm going to give the melucha to somebody else, it already, even though down here on earth nothing happened, Shaul still is the king, David is not even aware of anything, nothing happened, but in Shamayim, in Hashem's mind, he already kind of gave the melucha to David. So he can't take that back. Even if Shaul would do teshuva shalema, and I'm sure that he did, too late, Hashem says, but I already gave it to David. So I can't take that back. Because when Hashem promises a good thing to someone, he will never, ever take it back. And that's how we learn, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachim. He's not going to take back his promise of good. So he will never, ever do that. Okay, that's all. Have a great night, a great week. stay calm. Wash your hands a lot. And I was telling this to my other class, I'm just going to repeat it. Every time you wash your hands, think to yourself, I'm in Hashem's hands. I'm in Hashem's hands. Hashem is causing this to happen. I'm in Hashem's hands. But do wash your hands often. All right. Have a good night. Be well. Bye-bye. Press 9 to stop. And press 9. Didn't change press.